Hi, I'm Tamina, gender equality activist and sales professional at a global technology company. When I graduated from college in 2017, I was struggling to figure out how adulting works. School did not properly prepare me for some of the most basic things that my young professional life would eventually throw at me. If this sounds familiar, please join me on this journey to empower young women who are, just like myself, still in search of a fulfilling, purpose-driven life. Welcome to FemHive. Today, I am beyond excited to welcome Michaela Alexis to the FemHive podcast. Michaela is currently one of North America's most in-demand speakers on topics related to LinkedIn. Her journey started in March of 2016 when an article she wrote about landing her dream job went viral on LinkedIn. Since then, she has replicated that success with dozens of articles receiving millions of reads, featured on the likes of CNBC, Success.com, BuzzFeed, and more. Over the past decade, Michaela has managed the online presence of more than 100 businesses worldwide, partnered on and starred in brand campaigns with Crowne Plaza Hotels and K-Swiss. She has built her community to over 160,000 followers on LinkedIn and has starred in an Amazon Prime reality TV show called The Social Movement. Additionally, Michaela co-wrote a book called Think Video, Smart Video Marketing and Hashtag Influencing. More recently, Michaela became an official LinkedIn Learning instructor and author of Grow Your Business with LinkedIn Pages, the first official course on LinkedIn Pages. On this episode, Michaela is going to talk about how to build your professional brand. Hi, Michaela. It's wonderful to have you. Wow, what an impressive list of accomplishments.
I thank you so much. I'm like listening. I'm like, wait, I did those things. I love when people intro you because you know you have those days, especially right now, where you're kind of feeling like off your game and you're like, oh no, I've done some stuff. Good for me.
Absolutely. And there is a lot to be proud of. So give yourself a pat on the back for sure.
Thank you so much.
Of course. So I was just mentioning it in the intro briefly, Michaela, but you probably get this question a lot. But would you mind sharing with our listeners again how you got to where you are today? I know it all started with you getting laid off in 2016 and writing an article that went viral on LinkedIn.
Yeah, I look back at my story and it's so crazy how life turns out and how all of these like small steps that you can take can lead you to really great places. But I started on the LinkedIn platform in 2016. And like you mentioned, I was a month away from my 30th birthday. I was laid off from the tech startup that I was working at. And I truly believe that incredible, magical things can come from rock bottom. And that's really where I was. I was at kind of that stage where I'm looking around and I thought 30 was going to look totally different. I thought I'd have the big family and the house and the stable career. And what I found instead was that I wasn't any further ahead. And more than that, I was like kind of bitter that I wasn't further ahead. Because I felt like I had followed all the rules. I had done all the right things, didn't take too many chances, made the safe choices. And I wasn't any further ahead. And so I started thinking about, well, what if I took control of my career destiny? And how would I even do that? And back then, I didn't know what a personal brand was. I had no clue. But I knew that if people really knew me and my heart, that maybe I would be able to get a little bit further ahead than where I was at. So I started sharing. Originally, I was sharing content on LinkedIn about marketing and social media, which was my background. And then I started kind of talking a little bit more about what it was like to be a job seeker, you know, that feeling of shame when you are given the layoff notice, kind of grappling with that and struggling to tell your friends and family that you've been laid off, struggling to post about it or share your experience because you feel less than while you are out of work when you don't have an official title. Mm-hmm. And so I started sharing those conversations. And like I said, I didn't have anything to lose back then. But what was really incredible was that people were actually caring. Like people were sending me messages of encouragement. People started sending me job listings that they saw. People started inviting me in for job interviews. And that was my first aha moment that I'm like, I'm onto something that's bigger than myself here. And, you know, I realized in that moment that community wasn't dead. Like everybody was saying, everybody's talking about social media and how it's eradicated this sense of community. And what I found inside was that community was thriving. It just looked a little bit different than it might have looked for our parents. And so that was really cool for me. And I ended up landing my dream job back then in 2 weeks, turned down 4 job offers in the process, which was totally different than my experience any other time. Mm-hmm. And so that article that I wrote, which was how I landed my dream job in 2 weeks on LinkedIn, I had no intentions of going viral. All I was trying to do was I was like, okay, I'm a job seeker. Other job seekers need to know of this brand new strategy that is so much better than waiting around for great things to happen. Actually putting yourself out there and sharing your story on LinkedIn and connecting with people, that is the way to go. And I was blown away because this was back in the day when LinkedIn looked a little bit different. So you had like a section on your profile where you could see all your analytics. Like it was like really in depth. Mm-hmm. And I remember going out and running all these errands after I wrote this. And honestly, it took me like 20 minutes to write this article. And I go out, I come back and I try to open the LinkedIn app on my phone and it keeps like shutting down. And I'm like, okay, that's weird, but LinkedIn can be glitchy. So maybe that's the issue. And then I go onto the desktop version and it opens up, but then that analytics section won't open. It just keeps crashing. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I look in the top right corner where you can see like connections, people adding you or requesting to connect. And it was like thousands upon thousands of like job seekers from around the world that started connecting with me. And so I immediately went to like 13,000 connections in a week. And that was another aha moment because I'm like, wait a second, what if I just talked about things that actually mattered on LinkedIn? What if I shared real conversations that nobody else was talking about, fear of failure, rejection, all of these challenges that we were all having in our careers, but people kind of seemed hesitant to step up and talk about anything other than this is the award that I've won, or this is where I'm working now, all of these kind of milestones. I wanted to show the behind the scenes. And so I've basically been doing that since 2016. And those stories have just really resonated with people. And it's really incredible to share things that have happened in my own life and know that at least one person that's reading is going to feel free because they're going to have this thought in their head that maybe it's not just me. Maybe I can do those things as well because I've been in her position. And that's why LinkedIn is so special to me. It's not just something that I really love teaching. It's something that's changed my entire life. Like I almost think of it as like a Cinderella story, except instead of like a glass slipper, I have like a chipped coffee mug and like coffee stains on my shirt.
I love that. And wow, what a powerful story. And I think, and you kind of already alluded to that, but I think what made your story and your experience really special was the fact that it was super authentic and relatable, right? And it, you know, I joined LinkedIn I think in 2014 when I was still in college, and back then, you know, there weren't a lot of people sharing updates, but I think over the past couple of years people have actually found the courage to share on LinkedIn and figured out that it's actually this platform, right? So I think LinkedIn is so successful because of it being a platform that kind of promotes that inherent authenticity and also to some extent some vulnerability.
Yeah. And, you know, LinkedIn, there have been times I recently did a video on my company page where I tried to share this thing and then I start crying on camera because there's something that is so special about the LinkedIn community. I mean, when I reached out to people, so the day after I was laid off, I went on LinkedIn and I reached out to an idol of mine, Scott Stratton, and he runs this amazing podcast called Unmarketing. And I had connected to him. I don't know why he connected to me. I didn't expect for him to respond. And not only did he respond and give me some great career advice, but he also sent me this like huge box of books, and it had like marketing, writing books, his own books in this box. And that was like that is like a gut punch when you realize that there are people in the world that care about you without wanting anything from you. Like, I had nothing to offer him at that point. I had no clout. I had no influence, nothing. And he, out of the goodness of his heart, saw potential in me. That's something that you just want to, you just like feel this urge to replicate for the rest of your life. And that to me is what makes LinkedIn so special, that people that are on there are some of the most generous people that I've ever met in my entire life. I did a virtual workshop recently, and because of the pandemic, there's a lot of people that are not able to pay the full price for the virtual workshop, even though it's low price. And so I offer an option to some people, pay what you can option, because I really do try to help as many people as I can land that next role. And I expected to get a few people that reached out with asking for the link for the pay what you can. And I was getting just hundreds, like hundreds were pouring in saying, I'm so sorry. I'm a single mom. I can't afford this right now. I wish I could. Maybe I can pay you part of, like, that was like heartbreaking to me. Maybe I can pay you part today and then part next week. I was just like, oh my gosh. I'm like, and then I'm thinking, what do I do though? Because I have to pay my own bills. I have to make money as well. I can't help everybody. And as I'm sitting there trying to think of a solution to this, I have hundreds of messages pouring in from LinkedIn connections saying, I'm good. I haven't been affected, or I still at least have a job. I want to sponsor somebody else to take your class. Can I pay you and like anonymously sponsor other people? And those just started pouring in, and they didn't want anybody to know who they were or anything like that. And so I shared this video trying to explain this, and I just start bawling, because that is what the LinkedIn community is all about. That's what attracted me in 2016. I have never seen another platform where people are so giving and willing to help lift other people up. And with the shift, with people sharing more culture and more stories, it's become my favorite place on the internet, because people are really willing to talk about real challenges, and they really have the intention of learning, growing, and connecting, which I think is such a wonderful thing.
Very, very well said, Michaela.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. And I mean, your story of connecting to one of your role models kind of resonated with me, because I feel like that's what's happening with us. I've been following you for quite some time now and always admired your vulnerable and authentic posts. And I just reached out to you and you replied within literally 45 minutes, and here we are. So it's just a testimonial. It's just a testimonial to the power of LinkedIn, I guess. But obviously, both of us are quite biased. So,
exactly.
So, prior to that life-changing experience, had you ever given your own professional brand a lot of thought? And on that note, what would you maybe have done differently as a young professional if you could go back in time?
Oh. Yeah, that is, I definitely had I had no idea what personal branding was. But as a marketer, I knew that, you know, the idea of being a job seeker and just sending out a whole bunch of resumes and waiting for opportunities to happen, as a marketer, that didn't make any sense to me. Because when I started creating content on LinkedIn, that's when inbound marketing really had started to pick up steam. And so I was really attracted to the idea of, well, what if I just share who I am and I attract opportunities like a magnet? And so I started to think of it kind of from a marketing standpoint. But again, I had no idea what personal branding was. I had never given it any thought before that, because, and maybe this, that other people can relate to what I'm saying, but you follow, especially as female professionals, you follow what people tell you you're supposed to do. And the problem is that the business world has changed so much, right? There's the whole gig economy, and there's more entrepreneurs and more freelancers than ever before. So there are multiple paths. There is not one path. You know, that might be true for our parents, where you graduate, you find a job within your field, and then you retire and you live happily ever after. And now people have more choices. They have more opportunities. They can find a job that not only pays well, but also allows them to create impact, or is something that they're really passionate about. But I never gave it any sort of thought, because I felt like if I followed the rules well enough, if I just spent more time working, if I just burnt out one more time, then people would recognize that I was deserving of an opportunity. And for me, it was a mindset shift of, nobody owes you anything. The world wants you to succeed, but you have to take that first step. You can't sit around and wait for it to happen. And that's unfortunately what a lot of job seekers are doing. You know, they wake up, go on Indeed, send out 50 resumes, and I'm not bashing it because I was that person. And then you feel like you're done for the day. But there's so much work to be done. This is the best work that you can do as a job seeker, is get your mind right, be in the right headspace, make your confidence, your self-confidence, your full-time job. You know, I'd wake up in the morning and do my morning yoga, and then I would journal, and then I would read positive, affirming books, because I knew that as soon as I stepped into a room for an interview, I needed to show my best self. I needed to go in it with the attitude that this was a relationship, not just some gig, some favor that the company is doing for me. And so that mindset shift is really, really important in terms of personal branding.
No, absolutely. And I would even argue that, and you were kind of mentioning that earlier as well, that we're so interconnected today. There's tons of opportunities to start your own business, be a freelancer or whatnot. So to some extent, every person already has a brand, at least among their friends, former classmates, coworkers, even if they like it or not. And, you know, some people's brands are simply stronger than others. So I think what you're just saying about that mindset shift is really, really important.
Yeah, I think that personal branding is a tough even phrase to consume, because it feels inauthentic when you say it out loud. But really what the idea of personal branding and building a professional brand overall is, what is the impression that you want to make on the world? And if you can just kind of consider that, that's all that it is. It's not about having, you know, perfect graphics and all of I've never had that. You know, people call me authentic. I think I'm messy, but I guess it's kind of, it can be the same thing. But the idea is just, how do you want people to feel? How do you want people to feel when they come across your profile or come across your content or watch one of your videos? And then just work on that. Like that, we overcomplicate it so much, but it really is just showing your heart.
You kind of already answered my next question, so thank you for that. You're kind of doing both my job and your job, so that's fantastic. Most of our listeners are women from all over the world in their 20s. A lot of them are just starting their careers, maybe they're even college seniors. So chances are high that they don't have a well-established professional or personal brand just yet.
Right.
Where should they start?
Yeah, I think really knowing the foundations, because when you think about it, when you actually look at content across platforms, whether it's LinkedIn, YouTube, TikTok, all of these different places, what it really comes down to is knowing the art of storytelling. So yes, it's so important to share your story and to share your heart, but you also want to bring it back to the person that's watching or listening, because the intention should always be that you want to give energy to your audience. And so when you share your story, you also want to share why it matters for the person that's reading or watching. And one of the best tools that I've used is really looking into, well, two things. There's a book by Anne Hanley, who I absolutely adore. It's called Everybody Writes. And so that has really helped me learn not just how to write, but how to write for online. And that skill is super important, because what she basically teaches is that everybody is a writer. Because I hear people all the time, right? It's like, I'm not a writer, I'm not creative. Well, if you're sending an email, you're a writer and you need to learn how to write it properly, right? Because again, it all goes back to intention and the impression that you're making. So that would be the first thing. The second thing is to look into, this is a weird one, but look into script writing. Because if you can learn the different storytelling formats, so whether it's rag to riches, the hero's journey, all of those things, and learn how to format your story so that it not only shares your heart, but it also shares the why it matters for the person reading, that is such a game changer. Really learning those foundations of effective storytelling is really good. And then also really thinking about what you want too. I think, you know, for me, I didn't I didn't even consider, now this is crazy admitting this out loud, but I didn't even consider what I wanted out of a career until I was 29 years old. I just kind of kept jumping to, okay, well, the salary is good, the parking is good. Like those like very external, superficial things are the things that we usually pay attention to. What are the benefits? But what about like, what do you need to be happy? Like, what about the culture? What about, is it their open communication? Is there flexibility in your workplace? What are their values? Like what, how do they feel about mental health? Can you openly talk about if you're having anxiety or if you have a panic attack? Would it that be the type of place that you would be accepted and empowered? So I think those are questions that we really need to ask ourselves, because otherwise, if we kind of try to just accomplish our goals, we're not really trying to figure out, it's kind of, you know, for me, I ended up landing everything that I wanted, you know, the corner office, the title and all of those things. But because I hadn't really considered what do I need out of my career to make myself proud, I looked around and achieved all the things that I thought that I wanted and realized that it wasn't my dream. And so, you know, if I could go back in time, I would really sit down and say, if nobody knew about this, what would make me happy? Because sometimes we do things not because we want to do them, but because we think of our parents or we think of our friends being really impressed, or we think of like buying the house with the backyard pool and all these things. And when you achieve them, if you achieve them with other people in mind, it's really lonely, because you expect a parade and other people are so busy, you know, in their own lives that the response is never going to be what you anticipate it's going to be. So do things that are going to make you proud. You know, I never in the back of my mind had on my dream board, make myself break out in nervous hives every day. But that's something that I live by now, because I believe that when I do things that make me uncomfortable, and we were talking about this earlier, that's what makes me really proud. That's what makes me really happy. There's no greater feeling on the planet than feeling proud of the person that you're becoming. So I think really starting at the beginning and figuring out what you want out of life, what you need to create a life that makes you proud, is the best place to start.
I love that. So what I'm hearing is, dig a little bit deeper in regards to your writing skills, your storytelling skills, but then also be very self-reflective and take some time to really figure out what it is that makes you happy, so you can walk around with your head held high because you really found your purpose. But obviously that process does take time, right?
It does take time, but you know, there's people that you will meet in life, and I'm sure that you can relate to this, that they're just magnetic. And where does that come from? They just glow because you know that they are so confident in their purpose. They're so confident in who they are that it just radiates out of them. And, you know, maybe I'm not there, quite there yet, but I'm getting there, and it's always a work in progress. And I feel like when I think about where I started from to where I am now, oh gosh, it's like night and day. And so that really is probably the best tool that you can have. If you can walk into a room and make everybody feel like you truly love what you do and you love yourself as well, oh gosh, it's a superpower.
So would you then say that confidence in yourself, in your purpose, in your skills, is that what really makes people stand out from the crowd, or are there other attributes?
That's a really great question. So I like to think when it comes to personal branding that there's basically the three C's. So you have competence. So it's not enough to just be confident, right? There's a lot of confident people that's like, you know, you got to sit down, you got to learn more, and you got to put in the work, right? So competence is really important. Confidence, like we've already talked about, incredibly important. I would probably argue that it's most important C. And then the third is also another important C. It's consistency. So one of the greatest compliments that I get is when somebody meets me in person and they say, oh, wow, you're just like you are online. Well, I wouldn't want to hear anything differently, because that means that I am giving off maybe a persona that I'm just trying to be a certain way, where I just try to be who I am as much as possible online. And that's obviously how I am offline. And consistency matters. It really does. And I know that there's probably some people listening that there might be somebody that you idolized and you met them in person. And you're like, oh no, why you gotta be like this, right? And then sometimes it's the opposite. They're just so much nicer maybe than they appear online. And so that's really important to give that same impression that you have online, offline, especially in today's world where people are really looking for people to be transparent and have real conversations and show their authentic selves. And it's not just a buzzword. It's who are you? And are you that person consistently? So I think consistency is something that is not usually talked about with personal branding, but I think it's one of the most important aspects of it.
Absolutely. And going back to the confidence piece, because it kind of relates to my next question, for us women specifically, it can sometimes be daunting to talk about our accomplishments and be self-promotional for a variety of reasons, you know, mostly due to societal pressures. You initially, when I was giving the intro about you, you know, it already happened, you know, within the last 30 minutes, right? So this is real. And we don't want to sound too braggy because then we're not likable. We don't want to come across as intimidating because then we seem unapproachable.
Yep.
Then there's also the infamous imposter syndrome. I could go on and on and about this. How can we women overcome those fears and be more confident and proud of what we have achieved?
Here's the thing, and I've learned so much being a female creator. Number one is that my male counterparts, all the things that I thought were normal for creators are not actually normal at all. Male creators are not worrying about people commenting on their appearances and making these comments like you already mentioned. But here's the thing, is that I have learned as both a creator and a speaker, a public speaker, no matter what I say, people are going to have a problem with it. No matter what I do, especially, let's call it out, males in society, because that has happened multiple times at this point in my career, are going to call me out and try to kind of diminish my voice. In fact, I've had to, just even on my company page on LinkedIn, I have had to block. There's a group of male LinkedIn trainers. And they just kept, every time I would post something, they would go on and try to kind of diminish my expertise. Oh, geez. And that is a real thing. We're adults. We're all adults here, and it never changes. And, you know, every time I have spoken, I recently spoke at Social Media Marketing World in March. And after my talk, I had an event coordinator. He came up to me, and he has a reputation of not paying female speakers and sexism in general. And I start talking to him, and he's like, "Oh, what have you been up to?" And as I tell him all these great things that I've been doing, his face just changes. And all of a sudden he starts saying, "Well, you know, you really need to be more like this person." He starts pointing out other female speakers. "Yeah, you know, when you spoke for me a year ago," which I thought I did a great job because that's what he had told me at the time, "you could have done this better and you could have done that better." And this was, keep in mind, right after I had just had my first talk at Social Media Marketing World. And I was devastated, like devastated. I went to the bathroom. I started crying. I started believing that I would never speak again, that I would never be good enough. And 2 weeks later, I get an email from the organizers with my name on a list of being one of the top ranked speakers at the event. And so that is the reality, right? You're always going to be facing those things. So it's kind of like damned if you do, damned if you don't. So you might as well make some noise. that's really how I feel, because it really doesn't seem to make a difference either way. I mean, I had agoraphobia for a year and a half where I didn't leave my house, didn't go online, was afraid of people in general. And that's what agoraphobia is, a fear of crowds and crowded spaces. And I went from that, being silent, to doing what I now know I do now, which is speaking in front of thousands of people. And I will tell you, those comments happen either way. And so the best thing to do is really to find your tribe, find those women that make you feel like you are unstoppable. And they are everywhere. They are on LinkedIn. They are on YouTube. They are in your community. Find those women that are doing exactly what you want to do. Because I will tell you, my female mentors, the ones that are, you know, maybe 10, 20, 30 years ahead of me in their careers, my gosh, they have given me so much power, made me feel so confident in myself, that you can't buy that. So surround yourself with inspiring women is really the only antidote to some of the things that we've talked about. I think that we all have work to do. I just at the beginning of this, oh gosh, do I really do those things? That's a normal response. And so it's something that I'm still working on myself. And I think I'm probably going to be working on it for the rest of my life, but find the people that make you feel like you can accomplish anything, and then work on yourself in the process.
No, absolutely. And that's in fact what FemHive and this community is all about, women empowering women. And hopefully some of our listeners will be more confident in themselves and worrying less about male comments after listening to this episode today. So that's my big hope.
and here's a great thing is that if you are kind of on the fence, if you have a story and you want to share it online, the great thing is that both women, there are amazing women out there. There are amazing men out there. Mm-hmm. And 99% of the comments that you will get will be encouragers, will be people that want you to succeed. Mm-hmm. It's such a small percentage of people that don't want you to succeed that, and that's why I'm able to kind of pull out these stories, because they stand out. I could also tell you thousands upon thousands of stories of people coming to me saying, because you wrote this, this is what happened. Because you wrote about losing your job, I was able to leave my work and find a job that I really adored. And that at the end of all of this is what really matters. It's not about our feelings, it's not about our egos, it's about our focus on impacting the people around us and really just getting hyper focused on that.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think as human beings, it's just natural for us to kind of focus on negativity too much. I mean, we see it on the news every single day, right? Yeah. So I totally get, yes, well, 99% of the comments are positive and uplifting. It's that 1% that we're truly upset about, and that's when we start to question ourselves. But I love that you have that community of supporters and strong females who are mentors to you and have kind of also paved the way for you and us as later generations.
Yeah, you know, I like to always use this analogy. It's really silly, but when somebody leaves a negative comment or a negative response in person, I tell myself, I am not the pickle. So what that means is that I always think of that person that is going to like a fast food restaurant and they order a burger and they order without pickles and they get it with pickles. And I know we've all been there, right? When somebody's screaming because their order is wrong and they're really upset. Mm. And you look at the situation and you know, just by looking at it, it has nothing to do with the freaking pickle. Right? It's all about that person and some of the weight that they're carrying around. Yeah. And so I really try to put myself in a space of empathy as much as possible and understand that happy people do not leave negative comments. Right? And so I think of that person that is carrying that weight around that feels maybe unseen or unheard or out of control of their own life. There's all sorts of reasons why people might be angry or have that kind of fear. And that seems to help kind of take that feeling of, oh, they're saying it because it's about me. Most of the time, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with that person and their own beliefs.
Yeah, absolutely. And going back to female mentors and finding that tribe of women, who are some of your female role models that our listeners should follow who have truly mastered professional branding and maybe that confidence piece that we've been talking about?
Yeah, there are so many female role models that you can follow online. They're everywhere. Some of the ones that I love to follow are, I mean, I'm a big fan of Minnie Jean Brown Trickey. She was one of the first 9 Black students to integrate a white high school in Little Rock, Arkansas, and also a close family friend. And she just shares such incredible content. She has been an activist pretty much her entire life since she was a teenager. And she's fantastic. Her daughter, Spirit Trickey, has a phenomenal show called Roots of the Spirit, because her name is Spirit Trickey, which is let's just talk about that name for a second. It's so good. And she shares all sorts of great content, not just around, gender and sex and all those things, but also about race and more difficult conversations that need to be had but haven't been had yet. So she's been doing that. She has that show on Facebook, I believe, and on YouTube. And I mean, there are so many great women to follow. Who else should I mention? I mean, Oprah Winfrey, Glennon Doyle. I just finished Untamed. And if anybody hasn't read the book Untamed, she is incredible and she shares such great content. Elizabeth Gilbert, another incredible female. Anytime I can hear a podcast that has Maya Angelou's voice on it, I am just in another world. I think she was one of the most wise and brave women of our time. But the list goes on and on. Brené Brown, every single one of her book has been such a game changer for me. There's a lot.
That's amazing. And you're right. There are so many fantastic women out there, but there also can't be enough badass women out there that we can learn from. And yeah, what you're saying earlier about the female tribe, it's so real. And sometimes we as women, when, you know, on those days where we might feel a little bit overwhelmed by all the sexism and discrimination that's still going on, yep, having that safe space is so important.
Yeah, I actually have a call set up. We do it once a month, but a few friends and I, we have a She-Wolf call, Zoom call. And we literally just get on a phone call and we just talk about what's been going on in our life, some of the challenges that we're having. It's all female entrepreneurs and it's not anything that's like super formal or anything like that. But gosh, it just gives it just to have that space to be able to talk freely about some of the things that you're struggling with is just really, really helpful. And I think for some people, yes, you might have a lot of female friends, but maybe those conversations haven't gone that deep. And I would encourage people to go deep, go deeper. Some of my friends, we have like very hard conversations. I had one conversation with a friend of mine about jealousy. And that was something that like we went back and forth about because we were kind of working in the same space and had become somewhat of competitors. And so we had to have a conversation about boundaries and about how we can collaborate rather than compete with each other. And some of the envy that we were feeling about when the other person got an opportunity that we didn't have. And that was hard. Like that was a hard conversation. That was a lot of work on both of our ends. But we have created so many products and done so many things together since that point. And she's one of my biggest cheerleaders and I'm her biggest cheerleader. But it was because we decided to go deep and start talking about the things that we didn't want to talk about.
I mean, it is difficult sometimes to be vulnerable and super real and talk about things that make us uncomfortable, right? Even in front of our friends and peers. So I get that.
Sometimes it's especially our friends. Like I have friends that I've known since grade school. And sometimes those can be the hardest people to open up with, or family members, it could be the hardest people to open up about because you create this kind of routine or habit of not going deep and not talking about things. I don't know about you, but in my family, we're kind of, you know, surface level. A lot of the times I have more in-depth conversations, maybe with my mom and my brother and my sister every once in a while, but we've really made it you have to make a conscious choice to go deeper than that. And for us, it was, when my dad passed away last year, we were kind of forced into a different level of relationships. And so sometimes it's just tragedy. And I think that as terrible as, you know, there's so much chaos going on and so much heartbreak and heartache that's going on in the world around us. But I would implore people to use this time to make those changes, to find, to have those conversations with your people. And because there's no greater feeling than feeling like you are heard and you're seen and you're not alone, especially by people that know you. And allowing people to get to know you on a different level. I mean, one of my best friends, just yesterday, we had a conversation about race. And we had never talked about that. She's Filipino. I am a white-looking biracial woman. And we had never talked about race. And we're in our 30s. And so that conversation was probably long overdue. But I loved it. I loved every second of it. It was awkward and uncomfortable. And I wanted to leave sometimes. But by the end of it, I felt like I knew her so much better and she knew me so much better. And so it's absolutely worth it.
No, totally. I love that story. Yeah. Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Michaela. So last question for today. If there was one relatively easy but effective measure our listeners can take today after listening to this episode in order to elevate their personal brand, what would that be?
Dig deep and get uncomfortable. I think that that is kind of everything that personal branding is all about. That's what life is all about. And I know for myself, it wasn't until that moment where I decided to do things that I was uncomfortable with and share experiences that I was not comfortable with but were important. And that's kind of like the guidelines for me in terms of knowing when something is important is if I feel nauseous after I post something or after I share something. It's like a whoa, I just went there, right? And so I know if I have to put my phone into another room, then I'm probably talking about something that matters, right?
Yeah.
And so especially in today's world, it's not enough to just be qualified, to just be a nice person, to just wear the right clothes and say the right things. It's also very important to stand up for what you believe in and share your values and share your heart with other people. Because, you know, we might think that it's just like a nice thing to do, but those are, we all buy and work with people based on emotion. People make those decisions. It doesn't matter how logical we think that we're being. There's always emotion that's attached to the decisions that we make. And especially in today's world where you are competing with thousands and upon thousands of other people. Well, don't you want to be a face or do you want to be a paper that's in a stack of resumes? I mean, I would rather be that face every single time, even if it's not perfect, right? So use the opportunity, have courage, dig deep, make yourself uncomfortable. I mean, I have a very visual representation of when I'm uncomfortable because I break out in nervous hives up to my earlobes. And so years ago, my business partner challenged me to make myself break out in nervous hives every single day. And maybe not every single day, but pretty dang close, you will see videos of me and you can watch my neck. I'm doing things that are making me uncomfortable and it hasn't changed. And it's, I haven't looked back since. It's, I'm living my dream career right now because I'm doing those things.
I love that. Embracing being uncomfortable. Those are really, really great words to close with today. Thank you so, so much for joining me today, Michaela. Your insights were so valuable and I really, really enjoyed our conversation.
Oh, yay. I'm so glad. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. And to all you out there, today is your lucky day because FemHive listeners are getting free access to Michaela's 3-hour-long LinkedIn profile optimization course. All you have to do is head over to linkedinpersonalbranding.thinkific.com. Let me repeat that. LinkedIn personal branding, all in one word, .thinkific, thinkific.com, and use the code FemHive in all caps at the checkout. You all are in for a treat. And that concludes our show. Thank you for listening to today's episode. Since we're just starting out, it would be amazing if you left us a positive review on Apple Podcasts and shared FemHive with all your female coworkers and girlfriends so we can empower as many young women as possible. Make sure to also follow us on Instagram and LinkedIn. I'm Tamina Stoll, and I hope you will be tuning in again next week. Take care, ladies.